Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls with me, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks in the UK, and allegedly the 14-year-old sounding Rachel.
Who loves me that much?
The Carver Queen suggests, ha ha, Rachel sounds like about 14.
Oh, bless. Thank you, whoever that was. I'm going to take that as a total compliment.
Well, that's the Carver Queen.
Whoever the Carver Queen.
Carver Queen.
Carver.
Oh, hail the Carver Queen.
And talking of the Carver Queen,
that could be a chair, a bottle of champagne, or somebody who does meat. So which are you?
I don't know. There you go. Anyway, before we get over to the UK news, we'll take a short pause for Rachel's news, because it's now Aussie news with Rachel Brunsdon.
Well, you know what? Here in Australia, we like stuff. Lots of it. but we don't like other stuff. And what I don't like is the fact that Rod Taylor died a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
Rod Taylor's a great actor. He did this fantastic film, which probably people know him best for, which was The Time Machine.
Yeah.
And he passed away a couple of days ago in Los Angeles. He was 84 years old, which is a pretty good knock.
Yep.
Ladies
and gentlemen, I should explain that part of the program is to learn Australian. When Rachel says, that's a good knock, she means that's a good life. Because they're so cricket-orientated down there, you know. We are going to introduce words from Australia into the world, as we have done introducing words into the Australian language.
Like numpty,
yeah.
Numpty,
yes. Well, Rod Taylor was not a numpty. He was a lovely, lovely actor. And he was one of our best known exports and one of our favourite ones. He was in The Birds. That was a scary, scary film.
Yeah.
And he
hang on, there's Irish coming into it now, film. Flipping heck.
We're multicultural. See, we're descendants of convicts. we're a convict nation and we're proud of it. But, yes, we sent him off over there along with, you know, Errol Flynn and the like. But, yes, he was lovely, and it's very sad that he's passed away. But, yeah, 84 is a pretty good session.
Do you remember series he did involving a big – it was like a Bugatti, and he was like this detective in a Bugatti. It was a brilliant series.
It was on British television. That's why you remember it.
Really?
Yeah, I remember him as – I mean, I know this is going to shock you too. But no. I do remember him as an actor.
Yeah?
Yes.
I do.
What does that mean? What does that mean you remember him as an actor?
Well, you normally call me a philistine for not watching movies and stuff and actors and people. Right. And I know we're talking about for a change.
He was a darn good-looking chap. And
A darn good-looking chap. That's a bit of English voice.
Oh, no. And he lived a robustious life. He enjoyed it to the hilt. He imbibed in all sorts of things that he perhaps wouldn't have done him much good, but he appears to have had a good time and lived to a good age.
Good for him.
Yeah,
good for him. He had a good... He had a good knock.
Knock?
Yes, he had a good knock.
He had a good knock.
Now and again.
He had a good knock. He had several knocks.
I've got another message. This one is referring to the age of Rachel being 14. Rob wants to know, if Rachel's 14, what does that make me?
13, because he's a year younger than me.
A very naughty boy.
Yes, exactly. Behave yourself, Mr. Rob.
Oh, dear.
That was good, I like that. So you've got other nasty things like fires going on down your part of the world, Rach. What's happening?
The fires were really terrible. Mostly, actually, in South Australia, which is one state over from where I live, so it's down in the south, and Adelaide is the capital of South Australia, and that's where I was actually born, so all of our family and friends live in South Australia. There were some nasty, terrible fires. There were no lives lost, thank goodness.
Good.
But a good deal of, you know, of land was lost, people's homes were lost. Unfortunately, a little place that kenneled cats and dogs while they're on vacation, that was lost, and sadly a lot of the animals could not be saved, which was horrendous.
Right.
But all in all, considering our track record with fires over the last 30 years, it wasn't a a terrible outcome. It wasn't too bad. Victoria had its fires as well, but our cool change came and some rain came with it. So, you know, that's good news. The bad news is that we have had a really dry year. So everything down here is pretty crunchy and pretty nasty and looks pretty much like kindling.
I can tell you and one person
we've got
who
a
hasn't.
Lot of summer. Who?
Rob.
Who?
Rob.
Oh. He hasn't had a dry year.
Oh. No, he hasn't. He's actually poor old Rob. Poor Rob's steaming in his own juices as we speak up in Onslow. It's diabolical. It was like 40 million degrees there the other day, and it's just horrible. But he's home in 4 days, so he'll get a bit of cool relief for a little while.
Oh, no, but, he won't. No, he won't.
Why?
Well, because he'll get hassled by you.
Oh, well, that's par for the course. He just ignores that anyway. Oh, it's like Charlie Brown. When Charlie Brown talks to adults and he hears, wah, 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 that's what Rob hears when I speak.
Oh, so he sticks his. So when you're talking, he sticks his fingers in his ears and goes, la, 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 like that.
Seriously, Uncle, he doesn't need to. He seriously doesn't hear it. He's got this auto-tune thing.
Is he?
Yeah, I just become white noise. He just tunes right out.
I'm going to remember that. Martina, you are white noise. What?
So the fires, but we've still got a lot of summer to go, so we're going to watch carefully about the fires. We're going to watch carefully. But so far, so good. It was a very bad week for us, but we've come good, relatively speaking.
Right, okay. Well, we're going to move across to the UK now because Tesco is... a well-known, well, not just in the UK, but across the whole of Europe. And they got into a huge controversy last year with their reporting system being a bit questionable, to say the least. And now, Lee, they're going to shut 43 stores.
I know, it's a sad day, isn't it? What can you say about the fact that Tesco's going to shut stores? If they started selling good food and everything was wonderful and the places didn't look like empty air hangers, then maybe they'd be doing all right. You know, there are lots of places. The problem is, in Britain, the supermarket industry is in a state of flux, and the standards of food in Britain today being sold by these places is very, very low indeed. They deserve to lose money. They have taken over and destroyed virtually every high street in the UK. They've also destroyed the ability to choose good and interesting, wholesome, natural food. What are you doing? What?
Well, I'm just wondering... You see, because you had new stores come in, like Lidl, for example, and there are other high street stores as well.
They actually do really good food.
I know.
And so do others.
And they do it in a much less corporate way.
Yeah, and they pay the staff well.
And they pay the staff well. And they've not lost the plot yet.
No, the plot's on the third shelf, on the second aisle, on the top. Yeah,
it's next to the Knox.
That's the one. Right. Yeah. And I remember
clotted cream. Yeah.
And I remember Rachel the other week on Facebook going, "I'm off to the shops now at 3 o'clock in the morning." You remember Rachel?
Yes. Yes. Midnight Kmart.
And the same goes with Primark in the UK. People accuse them of killing...
Primark don't serve food.
Now, listen to me. They've accused Primark of killing the clothing industry, when in actual fact, what they've done is given people what they want.
And throw away fashion.
And it's the same with the Lidls and the Billers and things like that. And in actual fact, you know what? In Slovakia, Tesco's is considered an expensive shop.
Well, it is, and that's the problem. But also, that's a really interesting point you just made. Primark have given us throwaway fashion, and that's what it is. You know, you buy something to go out special on a Saturday night, you just chuck it away then because it didn't cost you much. You know, you get a pair of shoes for a fiver.
I know.
You get a suit for a tenner.
Put the tag on it and just return it.
Well, yeah.
It's not worth the effort.
But the leading supermarkets in Britain are actually now selling throwaway food. The sell-by dates on the food used to be quite
rubbish.
Long.
That's rubbish. It's not sell-by date, it's best before date.
But you know what? I didn't listen to you. You just didn't listen to me.
What? But you guys do this all the time.
No, what I'm saying is the sell-by dates on the food used to be really long.
It's the best before date.
The sell-by dates on the food used to be really long. Oh, now, when you go in to the shops to buy fresh food, the sell-by dates and the best before dates are almost fixed on the day you buy it, and therefore you cannot store food anymore. You should go and buy from farm shops, from your local butcher on the street corner. You should go and buy your wine from a whatever a place you can buy a wine from.
It's better quality from the man on the corner.
Let's go for quality and freedom of speech.
The thing
I'll have a pound of that.
Yeah, you'll have a pound of it. I thought you'd have had a kilo.
I'm trying to merge.
Yeah, what, you're trying to keep him engaged, are you?
Yes.
Okay, I understand.
Have you got engaged? I didn't know that. Oh, Rob, congratulations.
No, to you, dear boy.
What, she's engaged to me? Andrea will kill me.
Yeah, I'm your cyber wife.
Yeah, but the other interesting thing is we actually have a Marks and Spencer's in Slovakia. And, you know, I love it. I absolutely adore it. Do you know why?
Because it makes you feel posh.
No, because the Slovaks don't know what the food is.
Yeah.
So I wait, and for example, in the run-up to Christmas, I went past an M&S shop, so I said to Martina, we'll call in. And I got Christmas puddings for less money than you could buy them from M&S online in the UK.
Why is that?
That's a sin straight away. Why don't you make them? That's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I couldn't make it for the money that they were charging me, Rach. I honestly couldn't. Otherwise,
how much were they charging you?
It was a big M&S Christmas pudding, and it was €1.20.
But what price satisfaction of doing it for yourself?
I agree.
But Rach, that's a pound. That's like $2. How much is your Christmas
pudding? That's like
pudding?
$800.
But the point is, I think the problem with Tesco's is quite simple. It's just lost the plot.
It has. We've done that joke. We can't do that one again.
Oh, right then, but there
you
go.
We don't have Tesco's here. I don't have to suffer any of this nonsense, and I'm glad of it.
What are your cheap shops in Oz then, Rach?
Cheap shops are, well, we've got that horrible Aldi.
Aldi's all right.
It's really not. It's really not, and I am not proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've still got Woolworths.
I know you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got Coles, they're our big grocery chains.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, and the department stores, we've got Kmart and we've got Target and we've got Big W, which is part of the Woolworths chain.
Yeah, part of the same thing, isn't it?
Oh, is that what it meant? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a comment on Australian men.
Stop it.
No. It's be more about the Australian women. But that's okay.
we could have a fight here. Ones. Yeah, go on.
We've got the posh ones. The posh ones are David Jones and Meijer, which are the very posh department stores where all the, you know, where the ladies stand at the counters and say, "Oh, would you like to try this perfume?" and spray it in your face, and you get really upset and punch them in there. No,
I'll tell you what, Rach. We once went into. A shop, very, 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 very well-known shop in London. And I said to Martin, you've got to go and have a look. And she said, why? And it's a very ornate, I won't mention it, Victorian-looking building where you go through these big sort of oak doors and all the rest of it.
And Harrods.
No, it wasn't Harrods. No, Harrods is a good shop. You go around the back of Harrods.
It's lovely. I love Harrods.
Go around the back of Harrods.
Is that a euphemism or something?
No.
Are you talking about robbing the dustbins at Harrods?
No. There's actually kind of like a mini out-of-town shopping mall at the back of Harrods.
I didn't know that.
Where you can buy, you know, they are so pedantic. If you get one nail scratch on the underside of a table, Harrods won't sell it.
Well, they will.
But they will.
Put it outside and sell it.
They put it round the back and sell it.
Naughty, naughty boy.
And I tell you what, my mother actually bought what is colloquially called a Welsh dresser from Harrods for less money than you buy one of these cheap MDF ones. And I never, never, ever knew where the scratch was. I couldn't see it. But apparently there was one on it somewhere. And she
it's a good place. It's a good place, Harrods. It really is. It's, you know, and again, there you have. There's another place that's had a load of bad press that it really didn't necessarily deserve. But if you go in Harrods, what I loved about it,
oh,
it
the was sausages like, are lovely.
Sausages, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on, we should get a commission off of Harrods. We better stop it. Anyway, I just think shops.
And if you go in the gents, you go in the gents, you don't pay like whatever 50p to go in. You last time I went, you had to pay £2 for a pee, but you got a spray of the world's greatest aftershave.
I know. It's quality,
that's
mate.
Terrible, it's quality. That's terrible, they make you pay quality, money mate. To
I know.
The convenience. That's terrible. Wait,
but I'll tell you what, Lee, I've got to tell you, because my bless her cotton socks, I think it was one of the proudest days of my mother when the Welsh dresser that she had that she purchased was delivered in a green Harrods van. The two men put their dust coats on.
I thought you meant she got a lady servant.
No.
Well, stresser.
The two men put their dust coats and flat caps on.
Yes.
And they carried it into the correct place and they balanced it on the floor. So, and they even put a spirit level on the top of it. So it was perfectly level on the floor and said, "Thank you, madam. Have a good day," and left.
That's the way
actually,
it should be. And the sad thing is, that's proper service.
Yep.
And it didn't come from an English company.
Well, it wasn't English at the time either. It was Yorkshire. Oh. Yeah.
The shop that's just taken off here in Australia, which I happen to be a little bit in love with because it's just ridiculous, is Costco.
Costco's and, lovely.
Yeah.
Costco's good.
Do you know what? I've never been to a shop where you can walk in the door
and
buy television,
cleaners.
An engagement ring, a piece of salmon, Calvin Klein suit, a box that's full of 100 pregnancy tests, and then leave. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
No, right, honest, come on, fess up. You can go into Costco and peruse the vacuum cleaners.
Oh, I wasn't allowed. I'm not allowed to do anything when I go in Costco, but I'm really not. But I knew they were there, and I stood on the other side of the warehouse because I knew that it would come to no good.
Well, indeed so. We got to do this story because this is just such a wonderful thing and yet a sad thing, and I'm going to take the positive side of this. Last year, we reported on a great guy called Bernard Jordan.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And
yeah.
Bernard Jordan did the great escape from an old folks' home that he was living in with his wife because he wanted to go to the D-Day event last year. So he snuck out, got on a bus, then got a ferry to France, ended up just walking in like any normal citizen would do, and then people suddenly realised, flipping heck, who are you? And he became a national treasure overnight.
Yeah.
The ferry companies gave him, you know, the most regal return to the UK. And when asked if he was going to be in trouble, he said, that's life. And that was exactly what he said. And sadly, Bernard has died, unfortunately.
He has.
And just 2 days after he died, he was 90, and his lovely wife, Irene, was 88, and she died just a couple of days after her husband. And I want this vision in my mind, and I want it to stay there, that after those over 50 years of marriage, they wanted to go together. They're now living upstairs together, looking down at us and going, ha, ha, we've got the easy life now, lads.
The thing is also, I think it's nice because his wife had been ill and he looked after her at home, and then she had to go into a home and he moved into the home with her.
Yeah.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know
wonderful.
What, they're sitting upstairs and they're saying, what are you all doing down there?
Get on with
it. What are you doing?
Yeah, they'd kind of like bang our heads together, wouldn't they?
Yes, I'll turn this car around.
Yeah. Get on with it. Yeah. Or worse that effect. But anyway, Bernard, you were an inspiration to us all. I'm glad you're with your wife, Irene, again.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely wonderful. Yep. The Brits are moaning again. We'll do this quickly because there's a bit of snow and a bit of wind.
Well, I've got a bit of snow on top and a bit of wind. It comes with age, you know.
Hang on, he just admitted.
I admitted that was 47. I've admitted that all along. I've had grey hair since I was 25. I mean, I've been ash blonde since I was 25.
Yeah, right.
You're so rude.
What?
Yeah, Patrick.
You're so rude.
Denial.
I was operating freedom of speech and telling the truth, and you pulled me up and lampooned me. That's disgusting.
Yes, but it's in the spirit of good journalism.
That's right.
Except it's Eric who's doing it, so it can't be.
Je suis Charlie. So, come on, you've got a little bit of snow and a little bit of wind.
Actually, oh, no, I'm not doing that joke again because I got in trouble for that. It's a funny thing. We are funny in Britain. We do. Ah, now you've just made me. You've put me in a bad mood now because I've just thought of something. Oh. So, but anyway, we get very upset if it snows. We get really upset.
If
it rains,
the Brits are obsessed with weather, aren't they?
I don't think we are. I think what it is, it's people who put lists for radio programmes together who are sort of obsessed with weather, because I put it on, and you did it as well. I don't know anybody who talks about the weather except people like us.
Do you know what? I seriously believe, because, you know, people in England, they always talk about the weather.
Do you know what? They never talked about the weather.
The one TV channel that failed in the UK was the Weather Channel.
Exactly, you know what, because it's only journalists who talk about it.
No, it's not, because during the day today, I was periodically checking in on Facebook, and all my friends in the UK were all these posts coming from the UK. I'm thinking, it's the middle of the night over there. What are you all doing? It's like, oh, it's so windy and I can't sleep. It's so windy and it's woken me up. It's so windy. And I thought, what's happening? Is there a cyclone? Because all these complaints seem to be coming from all over England, like, you know, everywhere. And I thought, that's very strange. It's very peculiar. Because normally moan about the weather. They don't. But this wind, whatever it was, had everybody in a right tizzy.
Does it not show, though, a lack of real interest in life? If all you can see is, hey, look out that window, duck. Have you seen that rain?
Yeah.
Yes, I can see the rain.
I wonder if Henry's listening.
Do you know, there was a...
he hates the weather.
The other day, it was snowing quite heavily here, and somebody actually messaged me from England and said, can't you put a webcam up so we can watch it?
Actually, well, I've got a beautiful picture of snow in Poprad, and it is worth what. That's the thing with snow, isn't it? And we get all so wound up about it. It actually snowed on Christmas, on Boxing Day in the UK. My daughter, who lives out in Australia, I didn't know. I've known her all her life, and I didn't know she hated snow. But And as we stood there in the kitchen window, all this snow came down. And even the black heart of my daughter was moved by the fact that we were standing there watching the snow.
It's so true. You know, I'd pay good money to see snow, and I have to because I live here and I have to go somewhere else.
You must have to get on a plane to see snow.
Yeah, well, actually, no, not true. We do have snow fields up here, and I haven't been to them.
Snow fields?
But there is snow, and snow, in New South Wales. And Mount Kosciuszko.
The growing snow.
No, that it
I'm
actually.
I'm how you plant
from,
it.
It no, it actually falls from the sky. Oddly, much in the same way it does everywhere else. It's true. They've got snow fields here in Victoria. They've got them in New South Wales. I haven't been to them. It's where all the mad skiers go. And snow does actually fall from the sky.
Yeah, I haven't been to those places. Lightning strikes upwards.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, just for both of you. I'm now looking out at the RTI garden. There's a little doggy running around. And the whole grass is completely white with snow.
That's lovely.
So
I love Poprad in the snow. It's the most beautiful place. Yeah. With the High Tatras Mountains covered in snow as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just had the teeth white.
That's nice.
Oh, it is. It is. I think I should go out and take some more pictures this weekend.
Don't get lost.
Take some video. Take some video, though. Still photos are great. I mean, I can look at a postcard anytime I want to. But I want to see a video.
Oh, that says a lot for my photos, isn't it?
Your photos are lovely.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Thank you.
I want to see moving snow. I want to see moving snow. I see pictures of snow all the time. I see pictures of stuff all the time. I want to see a video.
So do you want me to put, when it starts snowing, shall I put a webcam up for you?
Yes, please. Because then I can live vicariously through you.
Right. Well, I will do that. I will put, actually, I've got a radio-controlled webcam, and we'll announce it. We'll do it properly so everybody can watch the snow when it falls in Poprad. Is that all right?
It is. Yes. I've got an electronically controlled drone. I got it for Christmas. Oh, cool.
You got a drone?
I've got a drone. It's only a little one, but it's actually a stuffed cat.
Ugh. That's brilliant.
It is. You fly it outside your neighbour's windows, and all they see is this dead cat floating outside the windows going, ooh. It's brilliant. I love it.
I'll chase you in my RC helicopters any day of the week.
You're too old to chase me now, dear.
Chase me. now, a little bit of, what do they call it?
A bit of
administration. That's the word.
Housekeeping.
Thank you, Rach. You see, a girl always knows the right word, housekeeping.
Tidying up.
Well, I won't be here next week because I'm away on business. It'll be Rach, Lee and Petra next week.
Absolutely.
And can I say thank you? Those. I need to do a thank you to Lee and Rach for last week because, as you can probably hear, I've got a gravelly voice still and got clobbered by some virus that actually genuinely put me in bed, which is...
We did, Rachel and I did point out for quite a long time that actually Rachel had the same virus, I had the same virus, and Rachel and I were heroic.
I did notice the running order played on that rather a lot.
Well, you know, it was 1:40 a.m.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody had forgotten to tell us he wasn't going to turn up for the show.
Oh, Lee.
Yes.
Lee, Louise says, a dead cat drone, I want one.
So listen, Louise.
It's hilarious.
Listen, Louise, I'm actually going to turn my 6-foot stuffed shark into a drone as well.
Right. Do you know what I think we'll do just for Louise? We'll take a picture of Lee's dead cat drone and we'll stick it on the RTI page on Facebook, which is called Radio.
It'd be better to take a picture of a shark.
Nah, it's boring.
No, it would.
It's stuffed.
No, it would.
Are you telling me that the dead cat drone's not real?
It's real. It was something that I really wanted for Christmas, like socks. And I have to say...
you didn't get any socks either, did you?
No, I didn't.
But I sent him a big picture of them. I sent him a big photo
of them. Loads mini socks. So if anybody out there can send me a dead cat drone, right, I'll be really great because I've always wanted one. And I am getting one for Christmas. It's just not arrived yet. It's floating over the top of Warwick at the moment.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So you did. There you go. That's the other side of journalism, boys and girls. Poetic license.
Oh, my goodness, I've got to quickly tell you something. Gordy's 3 tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Gordy, for tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Gordy.
Yeah, go on, Gordy. Good stuff. We've got to say goodbye, everybody. And we will just urge you all to remember freedom of the press.
Yes.
We will urge you all to honour the people when they have the special day next week. If you are in a position to buy the magazine next week, do buy it and support and show your solidarity for the journalism taking place in France and, of course, the murdered journalists as well. Yeah. And as RTI will put it quite happily now, je suis Charlie. And on that happy note, it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye everybody.
I'd just say, hold your heads up, British journalism, and stand up and be counted.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.